Well, this time I welcome you to join me in God's Word in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. And we pick it up there at verse 31, reading verses 31 through 39. An outline of the sermon, the message, was emailed to you. I hope you have that handy. And you're able to follow along there in the sermon outline on God's unbreakable love. Romans chapter 8. We'll be focusing on that last question the Apostle Paul asks, who can separate us from the love of God in Christ? Verses 35 through 39 of the text. Hope you've been memorizing the Word of God in 2 Kings 23 at verse 3. Let's say that together. The king made a covenant before the Lord to follow after the Lord, to keep his commandments with all his heart. And that's King Josiah. King Josiah was a preview of King Jesus, who has come to fulfill the covenant of grace, keep God's commandments for us faithfully with all of his heart. And some of those commandments are written for us in the book of Romans, chapter 8. We'll begin at verse 31. This is the word of the Lord. Let's receive it with believing hearts. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So far, the reading of the Word of God, and may add his blessing to it. I encourage you to keep your Bible open and handy for the message on God's unbreakable love. And I'd just like to remind you as well that we will be restarting our evening church family worship services. Those will be held via Zoom tonight at 7 p.m., so be on the lookout for a Zoom announcement so you can tune in to an interactive Bible study on the joy we have in Jesus Christ, taken from the book of Philippians. Dear congregation of Christ and brothers and sisters in our Lord, friends of our church family, a true story is told about a young man by the name of Toby, and Toby had a dream. Toby had the dream of running in the Special Olympics. Toby had Down syndrome. He's a little overweight. He had asthma, but he really wanted to race in the Special Olympics. So the day came, and he was all lined up right there on the one end of the football field. The gun shot, and he sprinted forward, and he was running for all he was worth. But yeah, because he was overweight, and well, because he had asthma, he started slowing down, and he skipped, and he fell flat on his face. He just collapsed, and he saw all the other runners going to the finish line, and so he started just sobbing, and the tears were just falling in the grass. Toby had a dream. He wanted to finish that 50-yard dash. But, then something happened. An inspiring moment happened. And we just want to press pause on that for a second And I want to ask you the question, do you ever feel that way, feeling as if you've been just running for all you're worth and now you've just broken down? You've collapsed. You feel as if you can't go anymore. The Apostle Paul encourages us here in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 8, he's asking a number of questions. When you feel broken down, you and I need, he says, to be convinced of the unbreakable love of God. And it's that unbreakable love of God that gets us up and gets us going in the marathon of the Christian life. And so I preach to you the word of the Lord as God convinces you and he convinces me of his unbreakable love. Paul asks a question, first of all, to get you convinced and me persuaded. And he also convinces us that we are conquerors by the question he asks, who then can separate us from the love of Christ? There's the question. And that question, dear friends, is really that one question is really all four wrapped up into one. He's asking five questions beginning at verse 31 of the text, and now we pick it up at verse 35. That question really just sums up all the other questions. Who then shall separate us from the love of Jesus Christ? And well, there's lots of obstacles threatening. There are lots of enemies that are wanting to break us up, to break God in you up, and to break the hold of God's love in your life. Lots of obstacles there, and Paul kind of lists them for us. Well, shall tribulation separate us from the love of Jesus Christ, or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? That word tribulation is a graphic word. It has this idea of getting grounded, like grinding wheat or grinding corn. I'm picturing myself right now in a chopper and going through in the fall this great big tall stalks of corn, and just that chopper just runs right through and mows down and chops up the stalks of corn and then spits out some of the remains of those stalks on the other side. And Paul says, yeah, you can feel that way, and so do I in the Christian life, feeling like we're just grinding and we're ground up. We're just getting chopped up like stalks of corn, and then just bits of us are flying around. It's a graphic word. Can tribulation, distress or feeling as if you're in a tight spot or in a dead end right now separate you from the love of Jesus Christ? There are lots of obstacles. There's lots of threats that want to break the hold, that want to hit and jar you out of the embrace of God in Jesus Christ. Can these things separate us from the love of Jesus? As it is written, Paul says. And he's quoting here from Psalm 44, verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. The world is one big slaughterhouse. The world is one big slaughterhouse. And here we are as the sheep under the care and love of the Good Shepherd, who's promised us nothing can separate you from my love. And here are sheep going, as it were, to the slaughterhouse. It's not a pretty picture, but nevertheless, it's true to fact, isn't it? It's true to fact. It's true to fact for our brothers and sisters in Africa right now, as I hear the word of brothers and sisters, 30,000 Christians heard shooting. They were getting shot at so that they just ran away. They had to run away from their homes for cover in the wilderness. It's a slaughterhouse out there for Christians in Africa. And sometimes we can feel that way as well as the Church of Jesus Christ in our crises. There's lots of obstacles, lots of opposition, and we can feel like sheep led to the slaughter. And we're the ones, right? It's not so much so that, well, in spite of what God is doing, it's really because of what God is doing in our lives. It's because we're doing the will of God, and it is the will of God for us, that we feel like just beat up, like bloodied, bruised sheep lying on our side, twitching, convulsing around. Can that separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord? Do you feel as if you've just collapsed? You've run out of breath. And you're totally exhausted, spiritually speaking. What's going to get us up? What's going to move us forward out of our discouragement? Paul encourages us to ask that question, to invite Jesus Christ into this question, to invite Jesus Christ into the suffering and into the struggle. Ask the question, who then shall separate us from the love of Jesus Christ? For we all, like sheep, are going through the slaughterhouse. Yet no, in all these things, not in just some of the things, not in most of the things, but in all of these things, Paul encourages us, you are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. You are conquerors. When you're asking these questions by faith and seeing all of the enemies swirling around you, all of these enemies out to break the hold of God's love on your life. So we see all of the enemies swirling and surrounding around us. In all those things, we are more than conquerors. You are, in other words, a hyper, literally a hyper conqueror. You are an overcoming conqueror of all of these obstacles, of all of these trials. Christians triumph in and over the worst that life can bring. Christians are always triumphing as Jesus leads us into triumphant victory in and over the worst that life can bring. And what are those things? For I'm sure that neither death nor life, these are the things that want to rip us out of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, a hold on our lives. No, in all these things we're more than conquerors, for I am sure. Are you? Am I? Are you persuaded? Am I? For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, verse 38, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul is convinced. Are you? Nothing in human experience, that's what we mean by death or life, nothing in time, your present or your future, nothing in that's ever standing in your way, now or in the future, powers out there, nothing in space, whether it's the height or the depth, nothing in all of creation, the very worst, will be able to overcome conquerors, overcoming conquerors in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? Because God has decided. God has decided to make you perfectly holy and wonderfully happy. God has decided to make you perfectly holy, child of God, and wonderfully happy. My brothers and sisters, we're more than conquerors in Christ who conquered for us. And we have to understand that it's because God beforehand has loved us. That's the context in which the Apostle Paul is writing. We read together in verse 29, Romans chapter 8, verse 29. You with me there in your Bible? For those whom he foreknew, or foreloved, or loved beforehand, before the foundations of the world were laid, in Ephesians chapter 1, before you were ever born, or I was ever born. He predestined, destined ahead of time for you to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that those whom he predestined, he called, verse 30, those whom he called, he justified, those whom he justified, he will, are being glorified. Those are the ones who are the overcomers. We are more than conquerors, hyper conquerors. Why? Because of that love of Jesus Christ. Why does Jesus Christ love us? Jesus loves us because he loves us. He's chosen to love us with an unbreakable love. And my brothers and sisters, I want you to see together that nothing in all of creation, Paul says, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, verse 39. Because there's this last loophole we so often face. We're tempted to believe, right? When we feel beaten up, when we feel as if we've just collapsed, exhausted on the ground, so frustrated and so discouraged that we've run out of spiritual breath and running this Christian marathon. We feel as if there's the one last loophole that, well, if I've sinned a sin, there's going to be some sin I sin that God is going to say, all right, that's it. We're breaking up. If you've sinned that sin, I'm out of this relationship. I'm cutting you loose. Dear friends, are you facing that temptation? Are you experiencing that trial right now? Who can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ? Can you? You're a who? Can I? I'm a who? Nothing in all creation. So I ask you the question, as Paul is doing here, to convince us of God's unstoppable, unbreakable love for us and his hold on our lives. I ask you the question. You are either, who are you? You are either the creator, and I know you're not that. I'm not the creator. So you must be a creature. And if you are a creature, you are part of creation. Not only, nothing can separate you, Christian, from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Who is saying this? It's the Apostle Paul himself. Remember, Paul used to be Saul, and he used to be murdering Christians. And God is saying through Paul, to Paul and through Paul, not even murdering Christians can separate you from my love, because it's a beforehand love, an everlasting love that you can't even sin your way out of. Love's sacrifice outstretched, his love sacrifice with outstretched arms on Calvary's cross, now for you, Christian, by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, love's sacrifice closes in around you and me with love's permanent embrace. Nothing in all of creation can separate us. And so when we get beat down, we get up again with a certainty that God is enabling us to overcome. Why? Because he has decided to make us perfectly holy and wonderfully happy. Boys and girls, it's like if you're playing tug of war with another boy or girl. If you only have one hand on that rope, and the other boy or girl has two hands on the other side of the rope, who's going to win? If you only have one hand on it, they're going to pull that rope right out of your hand. But if you have two hands on that rope, well, then you might be able to win the tug of war. Boys and girls, God loves you in Jesus. And God the Father puts his one hand of love over you, and God the Son, Jesus, puts his hand underneath you. So now, nothing, no one, nowhere. Can get you out of God's hold on your life. We are more than conquerors as we ask ourselves the question, who can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord? So what are some of the practical applications for us here in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 39, specifically 35 through 39? Number one application for you and for me is to beat the disbelief out of yourself. That's what Paul is doing to himself. He's saying, all right, it's time for us as Christians. Let me put it this way. Are you afraid? Are you afraid? Are you anxious? Are you uptight and agitated, nervous that there's something out there that's going to, someone out there, anytime, anywhere, that's going to be able to separate you, yourself, are going to be able to separate yourself from the love of Jesus Christ? Are you afraid? You are not thinking, and neither am I. We're not thinking. And that's what Paul is saying. Practical application, beat the disbelief right out of you and pound the gospel into your heart. Ask the question, who can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord? No one, nothing. You're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. So you can face with soaring, towering confidence the enemies of the world who want to see you break up with Jesus. You can even see your own sin and my sin. We can see that they want to make us break up with Jesus Christ. You can see all of it with soaring confidence. The mountain you're climbing right now is passable. The journey, the rough journey you're on is more than possible. The marathon we're running is more than winnable because we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loves us with an everlasting love. And so look, you got to look for God's love where He puts it. That's the second application. That's the second faith step we need to be taking as Christians who feel just exhausted, flat out. We flatlined, right? We're collapsed on the ground again. Look, Paul says, look where God has put His love, because my brothers and sisters, dear friends, you may be looking in the wrong place, and so may I. God never promised that you would never be separated or I would be ever separated for money. God never ever promised that we would never ever be separated from our loved ones. God never ever promised that we would be separated from our freedoms. But God has promised in Christ you'd be never separated from His love. So God has a good plan. He's got a good purpose. He's doing a good work. And all of those trials and tribulations going right through the chopper and getting chipped out in the back of that chopper and those tight spots and dead ends in our lives. He's making us fit to be like Christ, glorified with Him in heaven. So look at where God has put His love. He's put His love in Christ Jesus for you. So look at the Lord Jesus Christ again. Look at Him. Because in the words of D.A. Carson, my brothers and sisters, D.A. Carson has said so helpfully, if your problem and my problem is economic, God would have sent an economic professor to you and to me. If your problem and my problem was a health problem, God would have sent a doctor for you. If your problem and my problem was a political issue, God would have sent a politician. But your problem and my problem is what? We are rebels against God's law and against His love. And that's why he is sent in great love. God demonstrates his love in this. Romans 5, verse 8. God demonstrates, he shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul, the murderer, and you too. Be convinced as you look where God's love is, that God promises you can never be separated from my love in Jesus Christ. You feel as if you've been knocked off balance? Read an illustration about this. How in the world do we stay balanced, and how in the world do we not fall over this way or that way when we have our eyes closed in the shower, washing our hair with shampoo? You know how? It's when we feel the water, the drips of the water shower head, showering water down on our head. You get a sense of balance that way. You get a sense of being centered. And that's what Paul is saying. Center your life when you feel as if you're out of balance because you're knocked around by all of these enemies and these forces around you. Go to where God's love is, at the cross of Jesus Christ and in the Bible. In those moments of darkness, God rebalances us and reorients us. And then number three, stop thinking of yourself as a victim. Paul says you got to stop thinking of yourself as a victim. You got to start thinking of yourself. If you want to be convinced of the unbreakable love of Jesus Christ for you, stop thinking of yourself as a victim and start thinking of yourself as a conqueror through Jesus Christ who has overcome the world. Stop thinking of yourself as a victim. What does that mean very practically and personally for you? That means you can now stop feeling as if the only way you're going to be acceptable is if you are miserable. I want you to chew on that this week. So the only way I feel acceptable or lovable by God, by others, is if I make myself miserable. And when you're in that that funk, if I can put it that way, I got to make myself miserable. I can never be accept a word of commendation. I can never accept a word of congratulations, a word of encouragement from others by the way that my marriage is going, or the way the Church of Jesus Christ is going, or the way that our family is going, all by God's grace and for His glory. But if I can never, ever receive an encouragement or a word of commendation, then I'm just going to be depressed. Dear friend, enjoy the joy of being loved by the undying God who loves you with unbreakable love. You don't have to make yourself miserable to feel loved. Not by this God who loved you beforehand and loves you for good, for better, for worse, or for keeps. And then there's another practical implication of that. Stop thinking of yourself as a victim, always trying to prove yourself. You have nothing to lose. Right? You can't lose this love of Jesus Christ because it didn't begin with you. It began in the heart of God. It was secured in the cross of Jesus Christ. You can stop trying to prove yourself by climbing up all of these ladders, right? To prove myself, to prove to others, hey, I made it, I'm smart, I can do it. Look at me, I'm successful. The money I've made, the business I've built, the home I'm living in, the cars and the cars I'm driving, the clothes I'm wearing, whatever we're talking about, we're out to prove ourselves. And as we do that, dear friends, what are we doing? We're climbing up a ladder, and guess what? We find out that we don't receive the respect we're really craving. And we find out that the ladder is up against the wrong building. It's leaning on the kingdom of this world is perishing, instead of leaning on the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can stop chasing happiness. By climbing up those ladders. And my brothers and sisters, it means that you can stop trying to, you can stop worrying when you're up at night feeling as if, oh, did I offend that person by what I did or didn't do, what I said or didn't say, because you're so uptight and nervous that you want to make friends, you want to keep friends, and you come on so strong, and all of a sudden people are just walking away from you, and you can't figure out why I can't make any friends or keep any friends, and you're trying to do all of these things to win people's love because you're not resting in the only love that you can't lose, the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Stop thinking of yourself as a victim. We left Toby on the ground carrying on. He was crying because he wasn't going to make it to the finish line. And now press play on the illustration. True story. Out of the corner of his eye, Toby saw his dad running right after him. And his dad bent down. He took Toby and put Toby on his shoulder and started running to make it to the finish line. His dad had a bigger dream than Toby ever had. He just wanted Toby to make it and cross the finish line in the Special Olympics. And Toby's dad was more convinced than Toby was that he was going to finish well. And his dad was hollering at Toby, hey, we're going to make it, Toby. And Toby was hollering, yeah, we're going to make it, Dad. Christian, I want you to be convinced of the unbreakable love of God for you in Christ Jesus. Think of yourself as Toby. You're not going to make it to the finish line with all of the discouragements. You're not going to finish the race set before us as Christians because you're such a hardworking Christian. I'm not going to finish it because I'm such a hardworking Christian. No, we're going to finish because our Father in heaven has put us on his shoulder. And because he loves us with the unbreakable love of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when we are at our weakest, we will discover we are at our strongest. So let us beat the disbelief out of us. Let us look for God's love where he put it, and let us stop thinking of ourselves as victims. Let's start thinking of ourselves as more than conquerors in Jesus Christ, and say to one another, I'm not going to doubt anymore. I'm not going to be living in uncertainty. I will take God at his word. I am persuaded. I am convinced that nothing, no one, anywhere, anytime can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For our richer joy, for the salvation of our neighborhood and the nations, and for the greater glory of God, who loves us with an unbreakable love. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank and praise you that you have loved us in Christ Jesus with an unbreakable love. Who can separate us from your love, dear Father in Christ? We thank you that you have loved us beforehand, that you have foreknown, foreloved us from all eternity, that you've demonstrated your love for us sinners, and that while we were still your enemies, you gave your one and only Son to forgive us and free us from the condemnation of the law. And we rejoice, Lord Jesus, that you have overcome and made us more than conquerors. Please beat the disbelief and unbelief. We just don't believe we're saved by grace alone. We just don't believe. We don't have to live in fear anymore. So please pound this good news deep inside of us. We feel as if, Lord, we've just gone through a chopper, a chipper, and there's just bits and pieces of us as we lie collapsed on the ground, trying to catch our breath in all of the tight spots and dead ends of our lives right now. Pick us up, carry us home, carry us through on your shoulder, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you believe even more than we do. We pray that you would convince us of your love to make those mountains passable, the journey possible, the race set before us truly winnable. And we ask, dear Father in heaven, that we may look for your love in your Son. We pray that you would give us the full assurance of faith that we are ultimately not victims, but victors in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, convince us that we have nothing to lose. So may we fully obey what you require of us. May we totally go where you are leading us. And Father in heaven, we pray this for our richer joy, for your greater glory, for the salvation of our neighbors and of the nations. Father in heaven, we ask that you would hear and answer our prayers in the name of our conquering Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.